Amen.
Praise the Lord. He is worthy to be praised from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Our God is worthy to be praised. Amen. We bless the Lord this morning. He's been good to us all week long. Amen. All our lives, I can say he's been good to me. I remember coming down one day, I think it was for the food drive, working with the Central Texas Food Bank. We had food where people could come pick up groceries. And on my way down there, I passed where there had been a wreck, and there was a body covered up in the middle of the road. And I remember all the time that I've been coming down here, and I dozed off, realized it could have been me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
God
be good to me.
Thank you,
brought me mighty long way.
Thank you.
So I got to give you praise.
Yeah,
and he has been good to you. Amen. Had it been good to you? Could have been me. I know. No food. Hallelujah. But he's been good to me.
Yeah.
And we are here this morning to worship him.
Yeah.
We don't get into the word. Sheets out, so we can go ahead and get started. Try to get back in a little bit better time management. Amen. But we can have a spiritual time, but yet we can manage it in a way using the time more effectively. Now we have about four scriptures there that we're going to read, and there's one on the back, so when we get to that last one, just turn it over on the back so we can save paper. All right. God is good this morning and every morning.
Every day.
I woke up this morning, got some new mercy.
Yeah.
Amen. New mercy every day.
Amen.
All
Amen.
Right. Let's begin with John, St. John 17, chapter 17, verse 24 through 26. It reads, Father, I desire that they also whom ye gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known you that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. John 20:31. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Chapter 13, verse 14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And last, Romans 8:14-17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and children, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, then we may also be glorified together. Amen. We ask God's blessings upon the reading of all these passages of Scripture. Amen. Today we continue with our series entitled Need. And we said that it's about understanding why we believe what we believe. The term Need back in the 70s had to do with understanding and adhering to one thing. You understood it, but not only did you understand it, but you understood it till you wanted to follow what it was about. Amen.
Right.
You want to follow through. You want to stick to what you understood. Amen. So this morning, we want to entitle our message this morning, God in Three Persons.
Okay.
God in Three Persons. All right, now let's see if we can and pray with God. This is kind of a difficult message to share because it's so it has a lot of depth to it. It's pretty deep. And I had to, the work I had to do is to try to make it as simple as I can. And hopefully you'll get it. I'm praying that you'll get it. But it's even harder for me as I prepared for it. Alright, so God in three persons. That idea of God being in three persons is what theologians and what we call, even though you may not see it there, it's called the Trinity. The Trinity. Now, if you have the, hope you have your sheet from last week. These are what we call our vitals. Like when you go to the doctor to check your vitals, blood pressure, temperature, and things like that. Well, as a member of our local body at Bethesda, there are things we say it's vital that you believe.
Amen.
And not only that you believe, but you adhere to it and say, yeah, I'm going to stick with that because I think that's what the Bible teaches us. And when the Bible speaks,
let's stop.
All right. So now today on the second one, look at the second. We believe there is one God, eternal, almighty, infinite in holiness and all his other perfections. He is the creator and ruler of the universe. He exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with distinct personal attributes, but without division of nature, essence, or being. Amen. So y'all can kind of see how difficult it's going to be. I'm trying to make it as clear as some of you may already have it clear. Some of y'all may need a teaching to me, but I'm going to try to be as clear as I can to help us to get a hold of it. This subject of the Trinity is something that people really say, Pastor, I don't even know we need to learn about that. Sometimes you feel like it's irrelevant, doesn't make any difference for my life, it doesn't matter. But I'm praying this morning that as you lean into this and learn more, you will begin to see, behold the beauty of your God. That's what I'm trying to get to. So hopefully we can get there up on this morning.
Yeah.
Let me give you another definition of the Trinity. The Trinity, one God. Everybody say one God.
One God.
Amen. So remember that. That's important that you remember that. One God who exists in three co-equal, co-eternal persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one in being, united by purpose and power and in glory, yet they are distinct in personality and function. One essence, three persons. We call it the Trinity, or sometimes the triune God, or sometimes the tri-unity. So, as we explore the matter of the Trinity, let's first, if you want to turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to be moving along. So you may not want to go to all these verses with me, but some of you may really want to write down if you have something to do when you get home. All right. In chapters 1 and chapters 2 of heaven and earth, and earth was without form, void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. Whenever God is mentioned, remember, we talked about, I don't know what we talked about, but I should have mentioned last week that the Bible, when we say, when the Bible speaks, when we say that, we are talking about in its original language, in its original manuscripts. Okay? We believe that our texts today are very close to that. But the original Old Testament wrote in Hebrew. And the Hebrew term for God that's used is Elohim. E-L-H-I-M. Elohim. Elohim is a plural word. So God in that, but I'm going to remember, I'm trying to get y'all to see the trend. Elohim is a plural word. There's a singular word, Elohah, which is singular. So even in God in Hebrew, it speaks of a plural God. Now, hold on to that, and let's go a little bit further. Now let's look down into verse 26 and 27. One God and three persons. Keep that in mind. One God, three persons. Our God is one God. 26 says, then God said, everybody see where I'm at?
Yeah,
man. It did not say God, the gods said. It said, then God. One God said, but then said, let us.
Yeah.
Y'all see that? It's one God, but he says, let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. So it's one God, but he said, let us. Why is it? So one God is saying, let us, because there's one God, but in that one God's head is composed of three persons.
Yes.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Y'all with me? Y'all see where I'm going with that? Now, some would say, I'm going to give you an alternative interpretation. Some would say that's what's called a majestic plural. A majestic plural was sometimes used as when a person was a king or over something like a higher office. They would use the plural, even though they would describe themselves as a single person. They would use a plural, but you had to be like a king, not holding. And we know he's king of kings, but the problem is that was part of the culture. But remember, as Moses is writing this, as God is sharing it with him, this was before there was a culture. This was when there was only God. And God said, let us. Alright, say with me. I'm trying to get you that hint, that shadow. See, there was a hint in a shadow of God's the Trinitarian nature in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, it becomes clearer. It's hinted at in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, it becomes clearer. But I want to make it perfectly clear and say it again, because that's what Deuteronomy 6:4 says. In the Shema, what's called the Shema, which is like the heart of the law. It says, the Lord our God, Deuteronomy 6:4, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. We as Christians, just like the Israelites, believe in one God, monotheism. But that one God is revealed to us in three persons. Let me say it like this. There's one God. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are God. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The Father is not the Son of the Spirit. The Son is not the Spirit of the Father. And the Spirit is not the Son of the Father. It's one God, but three distinct individuals. Stay with me. I know you're a little bit confused, but it's going to be worth it. If you stay with me, it's going to be worth it. Because I want to ask you a question. Why, Pastor, Why does that matter? All I need to know is, hey, Jesus died for my sin. I trust in that. I want to follow him. Amen. I want to pray to the Father in his name, the Holy Spirit. Why does it matter? That's why. That's what we want to get to. Why does that matter? Now, I want to say one thing here.
Scripture, that first scripture.
John 17:24. You put on my gladness weapons. So you were there. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. Here you come, here you come. Y'all ready for? For you loved me before the founding of the world. Y'all see that? What was God doing before creation? It said, hey, the Son said, what he will do, Father, you were loving me. This is Jesus. And John 17, you loved me before the foundation of the world. So when you ask, what was God, I mean the Father, was doing before the foundation of the world? He was loving the Son before. And I call this the agape of God. I'm agape to be the love of God. The agape of God. Before the foundation of the world, before the world created, God was, God in the Trinitarian existence, the Father was loving the Son, and the Son was echoing that love back to the Father, and they were together in a fellowship of the Holy Spirit, all together, echoing love back and forth. In loving before the foundation of the world. They were loving already. God was already loving.
Yeah.
God was already here before the foundation of the world. Why? Why is that important? Why is that important? Because if God was not in three persons, but if God was just in one person, if God was singular, there's a great possibility that God may have needed somebody to love. Let me see. James Weldon Johnson, great quote. James Weldon Johnson, in creation, the first stanza said that God stepped out on space and he looked and said, I'm lonely. I'll make me a world. Good poetry, bad theology. Because he wasn't lonely, because he was already the Father loving the Son, Son loving the Father, and then I love the Holy Spirit going back and forth in the Trinity. So God was not lonely. He did not make the world because he was lonely. Because when you say God is lonely, that means it said that God needed us. He's not complete. He's not sufficient without us. But I stop by to tell you, I don't know what I mean, I sound with you. But God did not need us. He could have existed perfectly without us from then on that he had. It wouldn't make God unhappy. Because God, we're not fitting, in other words, we are not fitting any voice in God. Because God has no voice. He is God. That's the agape of God. He's loving before the world began. He's loving already. Loving some echoing that love back, and then the Holy Spirit joined in. In his fellowship and his intimacy. And so the whole Trinity is loving one another from far back. Because they always did that. Because God has no beginning. God is eternal. Eternal. So for all eternity, they have been loving one another in the Trinity. I'm going to show you why that's important. So that leads us to what I call the aseity of God. A-S-E-I-T-Y. The aseity of God. And that's what I just told you. God does not need anything from anybody. He's complete. He's God. So what I want you to see here about God is, if God would have been a singular person, it's a possibility God may have, because all other gods except our God are singular.
He doesn't need anything. He's not lonely, never been lonely. Never been needy. Without me,
God. Under God, the thing is Marduk, which is one of the Canaanite gods. He said he had his false creation story. And he said Marduk created men because he needed slaves. Under God said they needed created men because they needed friends. God already, because he was Trinitarian, and already loving in a loving fellowship, and already having everything they needed. The heart, the fact that he was loving Jesus before the whole world, said the heartbeat of our God is love. And the heartbeat of his people ought to be love. Muslim God says, it says he loves the Quran, but that missionary in the name of the foreign land. I can't get down to detail. But what was so impressive, the reason why the group that they were ministering to was so impressed is because their God was different. And the reason why their God was different, because he was called the God that loves. Trying to think of the name. When Muhammad died and came up to see Islam, his successor, you know, got one of those names you can't pronounce, but his successor came in. And Muhammad promised his successor paradise. But because of the kind of God that his successor, because of the kind of God that he saw, I'm telling you, it's important how you see the God. The kind of God he saw, Allah was, he said, I couldn't trust Allah in paradise because Allah changed. God doesn't change. He wouldn't say, I don't know about that. If I go to paradise, the paradise will come for me. I don't know about Allah, but Allah changes. There is no even concept of salvation in Islam. It's not salvation, it's success. Salvation means rescue. God, he don't need nothing from us. He just come in and rescue us and we'll be a mess. But Allah says you got to be successful. Be successful, then we'll see what we can do. He said, oh, God that loves. He's always loved. He specializes in love. So whatever you're going through today, I know it's difficult. And I know some of you have been going through it a long time. But I want you to know that your God loves you infinitely. Oh, he loves you like nobody else can love because he's been loving throughout eternity. You have earned.
If you want to follow me, you change it. If you arrest
stubborn and you lose a battle, you fall down. But it's all right, God. It's all right. I'm all devil. But I'm getting back up. I'm getting back up because I know my hope is in you. That's why I'm going to keep you. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to give up. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to give up.
Because he takes away your sin on the cross.
And that's why we go to heaven, but he takes away our sin. So the Son sacrificed. But there would not have been nobody to make the sacrifice if it wasn't true.
Right.
Who shall I see? And neither here I am. See me.
Amen.
I'm going out there. He's not. I'll work saved.
Amen.
But you know, really, when I think about that, he said, ah, it may not be worth it, but when I finish with it, because of what I'm going to do, it works saved. Because of what? Body. It's not for your own. fruitful in your life, you know, and people look at you, you begin to look like Christ. Look like him. Because they see his kind of love in you, his kind of patience in you, his kind of peace in you, his kind of long suffering, his kind of kindness, his kind of self-control begin to occur in your life because of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Fellowship means you cooperate together. Fellowship is the same thing like the branch being in the tree. You got fellowship. And through that fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is produced. Y'all with me? Y'all see how each member of the Trinity is doing something?
Yes.
Each member is doing something. So in His Spirit, in His Spirit, in His Spirit, in His Spirit, He gives us His Spirit. And when you get a spirit, you talk to God like that because you just know you His.
Amen.
The spirit that lets you know inside you His. Even when you mess up, you His. And He loves you.
Yeah.
And you know that's how it is with a prayer. You don't say, I'm going to mess up. You ever mess up? You're frustrated. You know she's a great, person, but when she messed up, frustrated, irritated, I'm probably the same thing to her. And when that happened, she's, I still love her, and she's still my daughter. I'll never get more frustrated than that she's not my daughter. I'm not loving her. What I said, I gotta love her back to the more that God created her for.
Yeah.
I'm glad that's where our God is. Because that's where a parent love is. The Father is a giver. Before the founding of the Father, He loved the Son. Because the Father began, initiates, and said, I love you because you're my Son. Yeah, you messed up, but you're my Son.
Yeah,
you didn't care, but you're my Son. Yeah, you struck out, but you're mine. And I'm not going to stop loving you because it's not what you can do for me. But as a parent, it's what I can do for you.
Yeah.
Love has to be like that. Listen to that. Wow. I saw the responsibility of being a father. It's not an easy thing. Because you got to be a
founder.
And a lot of times, fathers are not founders, they're debtors. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to get out of their children what they need. They're trying to push their children in a place that they didn't go so they can feel good for themselves. Father, we cannot be dead. We must be found. The only reason we can be a founder is because God has put a fountain in us.
Right.
See, when the Holy Spirit comes in, we like a fountain flowing.
Yeah.
His Spirit in us, it'll be overflowing. But first, before I can be a fountain, parents, before we can be a fountain, God has to be a fountain in us. You cannot be the mother or father. You should be until His fountain is in you.
So.
The Son sacrifice. The Son's Spirit. But lastly, the Son's status. You get the Son's status. Get the Son's status. For you did not receive the Spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption.
I think we heard that a few weeks ago.
You received the Spirit of adoption. Now, see, that's why you can't be good enough to make God purchase your own salvation or get into God's family. Or purchase a place in God's family. No, it's when you adapt, that means the person that adapts you made the choice. It wasn't because you're so good, so kind, so great. The person that adapts you made the choice.
It's
not about you. It's about the family that adopts you. God adopted us. Therefore, we got sons and steps. And He loves us. This is what's so mind-blowing. He loves loves us because we've been adopted as sons, just like he loves his son Jesus.
Amen.
Because God is such a God, he won't love you different as an adopted son than he does an only begotten son. God knows one way to love you all out.
Yes.
That's how he loves. Oh, how he loves you and me.
Yes.
He gave us. What more could he give?
Yes.
Oh, how he loves us. He's a God that you will be calling that to the temple. And the Spirit lets us know we've been adopted.
Yeah.
And think about it, God is a Trinity. And you see three distinct persons: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And not Father, Father, Father. And not Son, Son, Son. Not Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. There's three distinct persons, and they're getting along in unity. And I'm trying to tell you, when the Spirit of God comes in you, and the Spirit of God comes in other believers, all the believers should also show the harmony of the Spirit. So, amen. If you belong to Christ, His Spirit is in you, whether you're white, black, Indian, Chinese, Asian, whatever, indigenous people, we all ought to be loved one another because we all reflect the Trinity.
Yeah. Amen.
Because the same Spirit is in the Trinity ought to be in us.
Amen.
I can understand why people of different races in the church can't get along. If you say the Spirit of God is in you. Because if you say God's Spirit is in you, and you've been adopted, we've been adopted to the same family, and we got the same stuff in us.
Yes.
That was in the Trinity, we ought to be able to get along.
Yeah. Amen.
There'll be peace. There'll be justice. There'll be end of racism. And discrimination and prejudice because we are all serving the same God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we know where we are, not because of our race, but because of His race.
Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, but when we got that Spirit, we ought to shine. You know, be a son, S-O-N, shine. That's what He created us for. To be not that you mean shine, but be at the end, shine. We'll his shine and glory throughout eternity and enjoy him for us. I cannot wait. Can we get to the point? Because the same way the Father will love the Son and the Son will love the Spirit and they will love one another. He said, being loved by God and loving one another. Oh, that's good news. If you got somebody that went on ahead of you, it's good news. Like one day, when all of our children get together, what a wonderful time of rejoicing it will be.
Yeah.
Come on, sister. Woo!
Yeah.
Can't wait. I can't wait till that time. Can't wait till that time when it comes. It's going to be a real good party.
Yeah.
When that time comes. Thank you. Also, about the Woman Fellowship, where this concern is getting Amen. Took the Cheryl of 25 out of this room for that 24 day. Amen. We thank God for what He's doing in our midst.
Yes.
He is a great God. Good to see all of you. I hope you all be blessed. And now, just like it said in one of those verses, on our text today, we may be a little chanting hard, but we're going to give the benediction. Now, to Him that enables us to live with our Father, to our Father's throne. May the love of God our Father, that brings of Jesus Christ our Lord, and the sweet giving of the Holy Spirit our God, rest, rule, and abide with us. Amen. Amen. And amen. Go ahead on and enjoy the Lord before we pray out.
Thank you.